brothers and sisters, I think the service could end right now, other than listening to Elder Olson, and it would be well worth our time. I'm sure Sister Belknap is truly happy and looking down upon us to see that her family and friends and the gospel has been mentioned so well. I would like to just do some business before I make some brief statements, because time is running short. And turning the time over to Elder Olson. The pallbearers are Brian L. Belknap, Ryan L. Belknap, David G. Belknap, Spencer J. Belknap, Michael B. Belknap, Brent J. Belknap, Christopher A. Belknap, and Nathan J. Belknap. Kind of get the picture there, how important family was to Sister Belknap. The honorary pallbearers are Stephen A. Belknap and Joseph C. Pine. They were nephews of Sister Belknap. The gravesite dedication will be, and the interment will be at Ogden City Cemetery. And for those who don't know how to get there, I can give you a quick directions. You leave the parking lot and turn left. You go down to Harrison Boulevard, which is the light right at the end of the street. Take a right. You drive 20 blocks north to 20th Street. There's a stoplight there, and you take a left. And then it is about a mile down west, and you'll see the cemetery on the right. Okay, that's probably pretty easy to find. Ironically, much of my talk had been covered by both Brian and Brent in things, so it would be easy for me to just say a few words. I had the opportunity to visit Sister Belknap many times. When we moved into the ward 17 years ago, I was called to be in the high priest group leadership. And ironically, I served under four high priest group leaders. I served as first counselor, second counselor, secretary, and first counselor again. It took 14 years before I was finally released. But in that time period, I got to do one thing that I really like to do in the ward position, is visit families. I bet I visited more families in this ward than any bishop or any high priest group leader going. I've been in your homes a number of times. And one of the homes I got to visit many times is Sister Belknap. And there were three things that always came out in her conversations. One was how important her family was, and that's obvious as you can see. The other was how important her friends are. And of course that's obvious too. As Brian said, I just want to say, there are angels that live in this ward. And they are really something. They go out and do things for people, all unannounced, and just do it. This is a wonderful woman. And the third thing would be the gospel. She loved the gospel of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We would talk about those things every time we visited. Those were things that she loved. And I loved visiting your home. I'm kind of skipping through because time is going short. Those things were very important to her. Ironically, the temple recommend was a story I was going to tell. Because I was there. You guys weren't. We went there and Sister Belknap asked if she could have a temple recommend. Hers had expired. Well, I was about ready to hop in the car, run to the ward, get the temple recommend book, and drive back to the care center. But Brother Collister and Bishop Foley were there, and they are in the 21st century, and they had their cell phones. And they dialed up the questions, and they did the temple's interview right then and there. And Sister Belknap really appreciated that. She was happy to have that in her hand. President Browning later came and signed it so that it was a legal temple recommend. I think she just had to have it. She knew it was coming. She had to have that in her hand. I know, I'm just going to bear my testimony now, time is short. I know that there is a God in heaven. I know that He is our Heavenly Father. I know that His Son came here to this earth to be our personal Savior. I know that there is a Holy Ghost that will guide us in our lives along the way, as long as we stay in tune and open our hearts to listen. I know that there is a gospel that will help guide our ways and to help us through this life. I know that Sister Belknap knew these things. She told us these things. I know there is a plan of salvation. It's our Father's plan for us to return to Him. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to succeed. And He's given us every avenue to get back into live with Him in His presence. I am thankful for all of the blessings that I receive. I am a blessed man. I have a wonderful family. I have a wonderful wife. And I have wonderful friends. It kind of sounds like Sister Belknap to me. I think she had it right. She knew what was important. Family, friends, and the gospel. I thank Thee for all the blessings that I have received. I thank Thee for the opportunities that I have. And I say these things very humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to turn the rest of the time over to Elder Jeffrey E. Olson of the 70s. He's of the North America, Northeast area. And he's a friend of Brother Belknap. And here he can take as much time as he'd like. After he's given his message, the congregation will sing hymn number 136, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, and the benediction will be given by David R. Goff.
I feel very privileged to be here. I have a great love for the Belknap family. I was really grateful that everything worked out so that I would be here instead of New York at this time. In my present church calling, I have the opportunity of working with Brent and Lorinda. I've worked with Brent before. We were both state presidents at the same time. But now we work more closely. And I love them very much. They're two of the most remarkable people I know. And I love their children, too. I've been grateful to become acquainted with them. And through them, I feel like I know the rest of the Belknap family to some extent. So I'm grateful to be here today and have a chance to say a few words. First of all, I feel like I should thank everyone who helped to care for Sister Joy Belknap, including family, because not all families do that. And friends and neighbors, because not all friends and neighbors do that. I want to thank you all so much. There's no greater work that we can do. President Monson, that's how he spends his time. You know, he makes time in his schedule to go out and visit rest homes and nursing homes and hospitals and people in their homes to give them encouragement and blessings, help. There's nothing more important we can do than care for people. The next thing I felt impressed to talk about is just really a little bit about death. Because even though we talk about it a lot in the church, there really are, I think, some important things that aren't necessarily well understood that I think can be helpful at a time like this. I want to read again one of the verses that Brent read, the verse that came to him the morning that he was reading the morning that of the day in which his mother passed away, from Alma 40. It's one that President Monson usually mentions whenever he's talking about death as well. Now concerning the state of the soul between death and the resurrection, behold, it has been made known unto me by an angel that the spirits of all men, as soon as they are departed from this mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to that God who gave them life. And then shall come to pass the spirits of those who are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all care and sorrow. Now that's the state that Sister Joy Belknap is in right now. She's incredibly happy. My wife's father passed away earlier this year, and the family had an unusual experience associated with that. On the Thursday, when he went to the hospital for the last time, his nephew had a dream. And in that dream, he saw his parents who had passed away before, and he saw my wife's parents together, and they were much younger, and they were dressed in Sunday meeting clothing, and they were in a room that had some stained glass windows and a lot of wood, and they were laughing and talking. And in the dream, he went up to them and said, "What are you doing here?" And they said, "We're here for a viewing." And when he woke up, he told his wife, he said, "I think that my uncle is going to pass away. I think that was his viewing that they were at." And then he got word 2 days later that his uncle had passed away. And when he came to the viewing, it was the room he had seen in his dream. And he showed us where they were standing together in that state of joy and of peace. Now, what often isn't fully understood, even though it's right in the same chapter of Alma, because we stop there, is that Christ's gift to us isn't this gift of our life continuing after we die. That was given to us by our Heavenly Father when we were born as His spirit children. Our spirits are eternal, and they continue. And when we die, our spirits continue to exist. Here's how Alma put it. "Now there are some that have understood that this state of happiness and this state of misery of the soul before the resurrection was a first resurrection. Yea, I admit it may be termed a resurrection, the raising of a spirit of the soul and the consignation to happiness or misery, according to the words which have been spoken. And behold, again, it hath been spoken that there is a first resurrection, a resurrection of all those who have been or who are or who shall be down to the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Now we do not suppose that this first resurrection, which is spoken of in this manner, can be the resurrection of the souls, or their consignation to happiness or misery. Ye cannot suppose that this is what it meaneth. Behold, I say unto you, nay, but it meaneth the reuniting of the soul with the body of those from the days of Adam down to the resurrection of Christ." So the gift of Christ isn't this peace that we have, except that the peace comes through His grace and through His atonement, but that's not the resurrection. And one of the reasons this is so important is that the gospel was restored to the earth and His atonement was accomplished so that we could have a glorious resurrection. We could have a glorious resurrection. In D&C section 88, the Lord talks about it. He said, "Now verily I say unto you that through the redemption which is made for you is brought to pass the resurrection from the dead, and the spirit and the body are the soul of man, and the resurrection from the dead is the redemption of the soul. And the redemption soul is through Him that quickeneth all things, in whose bosom it is decreed that the poor and the meek of the earth shall inherit it." We're told elsewhere that without body and spirit coming back together, we cannot experience a fullness of joy. Those who are in that spirit world cannot experience a fullness of joy. They have peace and rest, but they can't experience a fullness of joy because you need the body and the soul united. I don't know about you, but a lot of the things I most enjoy require a body. A really good meal is a wonderful experience, especially with people you love. That food and that sociality and the spirit and the body united, it's a great thing. There are many other great things that require us to have a body. And in fact, in the 138th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, we have President Joseph F. Smith pondering over the scriptures. On the 3rd of October in the year 1918, I sat in my room pondering over the scriptures and reflecting upon the great atoning sacrifice that was made by the Son of God for the redemption of the world, and the great and wonderful love made manifest by the Father and the Son in the coming of the Redeemer into the world, that through his atonement and by obedience to the principles of the gospel, mankind might be saved. While I was thus engaged, my mind reverted to the writings of the Apostle Peter, to the primitive saints scattered abroad throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and other parts of Asia, where the gospel had been preached after the crucifixion of the Lord. I opened the Bible and read the third and fourth chapters of the first epistle of Peter. As I read, I was greatly impressed more than I had ever been before with the following passages. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And he goes on about that. I wish I could read the whole thing. But then he writes this. As I pondered over these things, which are written, for the eyes of my understanding were opened, and the Spirit of the Lord rested upon me, and I saw the hosts of the dead, both small and great, and there were gathered together in one place an innumerable company of the spirits of the just, who had been faithful in the testimony of Jesus while they lived in mortality, and who had suffered sacrifice in the similitude of the great sacrifice of the Son of God, and had suffered tribulation in their Redeemer's name. All these had departed the mortal life firm in the hope of a glorious resurrection through the grace of God the Father and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. I beheld that they were filled with joy and gladness and were rejoicing together because the day of their deliverance was at hand. They were about to be resurrected. Their bodies and spirits were about to be united in a glorious resurrection. Going back to the 88th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. They who are the celestial spirit shall receive the same body which was a natural body. Even ye shall receive your bodies, and your glory shall be that glory by which your bodies are quickened. Ye who are quickened by a portion of the celestial glory shall then receive of the same even a fullness. So if in this life we can allow ourselves to be quickened by even a portion of the celestial glory, then we will be resurrected with a celestial body. The law of the gospel is a celestial law. Baptism is entrance into the celestial kingdom. If we can live the gospel sufficiently to be quickened by a portion of that spirit, then we will be resurrected with a glorious body, which in D&C 76 it likens to the sun. And in 1 Corinthians 15, Peter likens it to the glory of the sun. It is the glory of Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. And they who are quickened by a portion of the terrestrial glory shall then receive of the same, even a fullness. So if we don't do that, we will still receive a body of glory, but it's likened to us the glory of the moon rather than the sun, which is quite dramatically different. And that's why our Heavenly Father, who loves us so much, wants us to live the law of the celestial kingdom, to be baptized, to have faith in Christ, to repent, to live the gospel, to be faithful to the end. And also they who are quickened by a portion of the celestial glory shall then receive of the same even a fullness. And they who remain shall also be quickened, nevertheless they shall return again to their own place to enjoy that which they are willing to receive, because they were not willing to enjoy that which they might have received. For what doth it profit a man if a gift is bestowed upon him, and he receive not the gift? Behold, he rejoices not in that which is given unto him, neither rejoices in him who is the giver of the gift. So brothers and sisters, I feel very strongly that Sister Joy Belknap was quickened by more than a portion of the celestial glory, and that she awaits sometime in the near future a resurrection with a celestial body, with all that our Father and His Son Jesus Christ, a joint heir of Christ, as it says in Romans chapter 8, a joint heir of the Father. And she wants all of you, all of us, to enjoy that same blessing. She wants us to do that. And what's even more important is that there's no better way to live life. It's not the greatness of our accomplishments in the world sense that matters. It is the goodness with which we live. It is the love we have for one another. It is our not judging, but forgiving each other always in everything. It doesn't mean we accept things, but we work at them in a loving and kind and supportive way, prayerfully seeking to make circumstances right for everybody involved. We really turn to our Heavenly Father who loves us so much. We really are children of a Heavenly Father who loves us. We rely on the mercy and grace of Christ, and we seek to follow His example and to joy in it. I want to bear you my witness. I've had the privilege of having so many witnesses. I love to refer to it in terms of Hebrews 12, verse 1. Apostle Paul writes, "We are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. Let us run the course that's set before us with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." I've had so many witnesses, but I know that Heavenly Father is our Father, and that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Redeemer, and that they appeared to the prophet Joseph Smith to lay the foundation for us to know the things we've talked about today and to do the things we need to do to inherit a celestial glory and to help everybody else to have it too. It's not an exclusive club. I want everybody in. I know that Jesus Christ sent heavenly messengers to the prophet Joseph Smith to restore the power and authority through which all of this is possible. And that power and authority is with us today. That President Monson holds all of those keys. And that all of us who serve in the church have been set apart to act with that authority. Ordained to receive the authority, set apart to act with that authority from God. And that Sister Joy Belknap is doing great. And she loves us. She loves all of you. She will be with you in all the important moments of your lives. And many of them you wouldn't even know are important. And she will be there to greet you when the time comes that the Lord calls you to pass through the veil. I know those things are true. I've had so many witnesses. And I leave that witness with you, along with the hope and encouragement to be quickened by a portion of the celestial glory, to inherit all that Heavenly Father wants you to have. And I do that in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.